Hello. Good day. Welcome to It Is Time with Mark.
Mariah.
Seabock. And we're here today and every Tuesday from 11 to 12 Pacific, 2 to 3 Eastern. And sorry that if you went and wanted to know what today's show was about, I wasn't able to put it up because my computer had an illness. but we're just going to leave it open today and see what you all want to talk about and see what Mariah and I have to discuss. There's so many things that happen every day that I'm sure we'll come up with something good. Let's start the day with being grateful and just this little saying that we have. You can call it a prayer or a meditation. So here we go. Thank you, creation, for the gift of this day. In honor of this gift, I will live every moment as the present that it is. So, how's your day going today, folks? Is everything going great for you? If not, change your perspective, and you'll see that it really is. Any moment that you're alive, any moment that you're breathing, any moment you have the ability to see, to hear, to taste, to touch, to smell, it's a gift, and it's so great, and I hope you guys are having a great day. Please call in, and we'll talk about what's going on, and the numbers are toll-free in USA. It's 1-877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And there's also the direct line, which would be 530-876-3222. So, Mariah, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. I got a sore throat a little bit, coughing.
Well,
I had a great weekend. So,
tell us a little bit about what you did this weekend.
Well, I hung out with my friend. I met some new friends that came up from Las Cruces, New Mexico, that have had, a newly relationship with one of my friend's little sister. And I realized, sitting around watching all my young friends hang out with together, they're really great people. They really are. They love to have fun and laugh and have a good time, make other people happy until the alcohol starts flowing.
Until the what? Excuse me?
Until the alcohol starts flowing.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yes, and then it becomes the argument. Well, not really arguments. It's more of what they don't like in people is more talked about than what they do like in people.
Well, alcohol does affect your perspective and your perceptions, and mostly it narrows your view rather than expanding it, and it usually ends up where you're worried about things that really don't matter, but they're the things that you can concentrate on.
Right.
I know that you don't go to try to learn lessons when you go out with your friends, but did you learn anything in your observations and your interactions this weekend?
I learned that I can't depend on other people to have a good time. The best time I had was when I walked away from the drama, and because we were out in the east and the mountains, the Sandia Mountains, and just walking out by myself, looking around, looking at the sky, smelling the fresh air, enjoying myself instead of having to be with other people to enjoy myself.
Now, when you say drama, what do you mean by the drama? Is it the interactions between people? Just exactly what do you mean?
Arguments, snippy little attitudes with each other, making up things to create drama, to create, I guess, excitement. I don't know why people... I understand. I'm sure I do it as well in myself, but I try not to. I mean, when I see it happening, I realize how stupid it is, and most of my friends realize how stupid it is until they are inebriated.
Oh, well, if some of you aren't familiar, Mariah is my daughter. She's 22 years of age, she's the 20-something generation. She's part of our future for this country and the world, really. Not just herself, but all those her age. I myself am 52, going to turn 53. And so I'm late baby boomer. So you have two generations here. And, of course, we always want to figure out what the young folks are thinking about. And they don't really care what we're thinking about. They know what we've taught them. And there's a lot of the younger folks are saying, you know what, you guys got it wrong. You guys don't understand. And what the truth is, we really do.
Oh, I do understand that because, like I said, it was my best friend's little sister that brought her friends up from Las Cruces. And she has just turned 18.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And her new boyfriend were what was the drama this weekend. It was a lot of little arguments all the time. You could feel the tension in the air. You could cut it with a knife. It was very uncomfortable when you were around them.
Well, do you remember, you know, it wasn't long ago for you. Do you remember when you just turned 18? Didn't you know everything? And
Yes, absolutely.
And now that you look back 4 years later, do you say, well, I didn't really know everything?
Exactly. And I tried to explain that. Because they kept asking for us for help, asking for advice, talking to each other. Why does she do this? Why does he do this? Why doesn't she listen? Why doesn't he listen? And I said, stop. You need to pick and choose your battles. You need to calm down. You need to give and take. It's about a relationship. And both of them kept saying, nope, I'm not going to change for anybody.
Well, that's...
And the biggest thing I learned, which it's always made sense to me, but it's great that I could tell somebody else, is that you change every day. Every experience that you go through changes you. You're not going to change for anybody, of course not. You're going to change for you. You're going to change with everything you do. If you're with somebody else, that's going to change you. You can't stop it. And if you try to stop it, you're going to ruin your time. You're going to have a bad time, and you're going to feel like a piece of poo.
Well, that was very nice for radio. One of the ultimate truths is we learn every day. We try. Our ego will say, no, we know all we need to know, so we won't learn, but we really do. When you're young and full of life and energy and the world revolves around you to your aspect, then you'll say, I'm not going to change for anyone because you don't want to be controlled by anyone, but in fact, you're very much in control by that which is you in your mind rather than what's in your heart. Interactions with people, normally, especially those who you want to be in a relationship, the relationships come from the heart, not from the mind. The mind will complicate things. They'll put things like jealousy and then the lack of communication, if you're not really talking to someone, then you're just thinking what they're thinking rather than actually communicating and finding out exactly what they're thinking. Another little bit of drama going on is someone I know is engaged and has a child by the gentleman, and he has gotten another woman pregnant. And, of course, my friend is heartbroken. How could he do this to me? How could he make me go through this? Why would he treat me in such a way? And I haven't had a chance to speak with her yet. And she's in a severe depression and very ill because of this. And he wasn't thinking. He wasn't, had no concern whatsoever. Should he have had? Sure. But men have problem
minds?
With that.
Two minds, I think, would be the way people put it.
Yeah, well, when the blood leaves the brain, men aren't thinking anymore. Yes, and so, you know, how could he do this? Because he's a man who is afraid of commitment. Even though he's had a child with one woman, he's going to have a child with another. He's going to have those responsibilities for the rest of his life. It's not something most men think about. They think of all the things that they're going to get out of a relationship rather than what they need to put in. And those few that do actually think about it are the good ones. Yeah, grab them, girls. But in any event, did you hear any new music this weekend that you found that you liked?
I heard a lot of great older songs I've heard before that listening like that I haven't listened to the words before. I like music. I used to like music because I liked the beat. If it was one of those songs where you couldn't sit still to, that was a good darn song. But now it's there's so many artists that have a message with them or in their songs.
It's called being inspired.
Yes, and it's just so amazing that I never heard this before, but it's been there years. It's been there. The older songs have it. We sang those, or we read the lyrics last time on the show for a lot of older songs and one of the new artists.
Mm-hmm.
But just if they're not singing, if it's not somebody singing about their heartbreak,
right?
Then it's usually about love and trusting other people and. We love the music. Everybody loves some kind of music, I think. Most people do. But nobody really listens. Nobody takes the message. Nobody pays attention.
Well, people listen. And they use it to alter their moods. If they're feeling sad, they may hear a sad song and they realize they're not as bad off as they thought they were. Or it touches their heart and makes them remember something fond, you know, to make a fond memory rather than a hurtful memory, and the fond memories are so much more fun. The hurtful memories are those that we should learn whatever lesson it is and let those go. I mean, it's just survival. I had a bit of an adventure, and I normally have an adventure any time I walk out the door because I live every moment, so every moment is new. And every moment is a chance to create or see what is created. And but in any event, we have Prairie Dog Village right next to where we live, and which is supporting a burrowing owl family. And many people go and feed the prairie dogs things that they would not normally eat and wouldn't be found in nature, such as carrots or apples. Many people will leave tubs of water so they have water. But this isn't natural for the prairie dogs. They don't drink water except the moisture they get out of their food. There aren't apple trees around this field. It's basically a empty lot that people have dumped concrete blocks and things in. So it's pretty much an abandoned little lot that these creatures have taken as a home. And at this time of year in New Mexico, the prickly pear cactus are putting out their fruit and are ripe, and it is something that if the prickly pear cactuses were in the field, they would certainly eat and hold on to for winter to get the moisture. And that's a treat for them. It's their watermelon. So I went on an adventure to go hunt prickly pear cactus fruit. And in the process, I saw many beautiful things, and I found a place to get them. And I had noticed a man on the corner of a freeway exit ramp with a sign saying hungry and looking down and forlorn. And I probably got about 10 pounds of prickly pear cactus fruit. And I was walking back, and I stopped and asked him if he was truly hungry. And he said, yes, I am. And I said, well, I've just been shopping in nature, and I want to show you what these are. And he was from the East Coast and didn't have any idea what they were. And I explained to him, and he said, oh, I tried something like that, and I got spines in my mouth. And I said, well, then you ate it wrong. And I peeled one and gave him, I took half just to show him that it was quite delicious, and he quickly grabbed it from me, and he's telling me how great it was and delicious, and I said yes. And I asked him if he ever heard the little story or the little phrase of give a man a fish and he has a meal, and teach a man to fish, and he has food for a lifetime. Well, he said, yeah, and he kind of stuttered, and he said, I think that's from the Bible. And I said, that's exactly where it is from. And it's a truth. And what I'm doing for you, my friend, is showing you what fish are in season here. And it's less than 300 yards to an abundance of food that otherwise you would not know of. And he was extremely grateful, and I'm a smoker, and I was out of cigarettes, and I asked, now, would you give me something? And he said, what would it be? And I said, can I have a cigarette? Well, he tried to give me the whole pack. Now, this is a man who's homeless, trying to get money for food, and he wants to give me his whole pack of cigarettes. And I said, no, I only need one, and I have a little phrase that is truth, is all we need is all we need. So all I needed was one cigarette. And I went on my way, and I crossed the road, and there were a few prairie dogs right there, and I threw a couple prickly pear cactuses to them. And he called, and my new friend called out to me, and he said, hello? And I said, yes. He said, you remind me of someone. And I just smiled and looked back, and I said, yes, I know. And what I meant by that is I reminded him of himself, of his heart self, of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's so much wisdom within the book called the Bible, mixed in with much misdirection on what the words truly mean. And it is a way of life. It is how we were meant to live, to our hearts, not blocking our hearts, not keeping our emotions in check so others won't know what our true emotions and heartfelt feelings are. We've been taught we need to guard that we need to hide it, that letting it out will not be safe. But truly, it is not that way. When you are of an open heart, you have nothing to hide. There's nothing that can hurt you. There's nothing to fear. Because you're there. And people will accept you as you. You don't have to make up stories of who you are. You don't have to say that you're a rodeo star or any other great things that people use to embellish themselves because they're so, they think that they're not worthy. Every single one of us are worthy of love, especially love of self, and not the egotistical way where you know everything and so everyone else is lower than you or that you're better than anyone. No, but you are worthy. You are worthy of love. You are worthy to love. You are worthy of respect no matter what you do or who you are or what you've done. You are worthy of respect because you're a human being who is alive at this time, this most auspicious, pivotal moment in the evolution of the human species. And whether you believe that or not, it really doesn't really matter to me. I know it to be true. How? Because I live with an open heart, and it's flooding into me that this is the time. It is time. And as more things happen, more people will realize it, and they'll pray to be saved. They'll pray to be forgiven, and they're already forgiven, and they can save themselves. And creation, God, any name you put to deity is there to comfort and help you. But you have to forgive yourself. And does that make sense to you, Mariah?
Absolutely.
So every day can be an adventure for you. It really can. I'm not feeble-minded. I'm not running around hugging everyone and saying that, you know, everything is beautiful and that this is the way you have to be and everybody's going to run around hugging everybody. Let's be realistic. We have to use discernment. We used to have use common sense. You can feel when someone is not being truthful. And it doesn't mean you cut them off. It just let you, the best way is to let them know, I know you're not being truthful with me. Tell me the truth.
Like the card game, there's a card game called, well, I don't really want to say the second word, but it's bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the goal of the game is to lie. You're supposed to say you have more of one kind of card in your hand and you put them down face down. You say, oh, I have four kings. Well, if someone else playing has a king, then they know you're call and they call out bull stuff. And it's pretty much that's what you got to do. It's you don't have to say, no, you're lying. I can't believe you. I'm never talking to you again. Just say, I call bull stuff, and I don't think you're telling the truth. Let's try again.
Well, yeah, well, if you look at all the competitions that we have as human beings, nearly every one involves some deception. It's part of the strategy. It's part of the way we've been taught is the way to get ahead. You fake someone out. You make them think you're going to do something and then do something else so that...
Bluff.
What?
You bluff.
Yes, a bluff. Well, what is a bluff? It's a lie. You're saying you're something that you're not, or you have a better hand than you have, you know, in cards or any of these games. It basically teaches you to lie. And is that a good thing? Well, it depends on if whatever you get is fine. The ends justify the means. But what happens is most people feel guilty when they do that. Others don't. But they're not happy. They'll gain and gain and gain, and everything will be abundance, but they won't be happy because just gaining things doesn't give you happiness. It's when you earn things and you do it with your heart and totally open and totally you, then you're given abundance that is of the correct abundance. Well, it's the best way to put it. There is no right or wrong. It's just how do you wish to feel about yourself and what you're doing and how you're making whatever it is you're living. How are you treating other people? Are you treating them as you wish to be treated? Or are you treating them as you wish to treat them to get what you want out of them? And it's been the thing that's been going on for millennium. It hasn't worked, folks. It hasn't worked. Of course, if you're one of those ones that has gained so much by this, well, you're saying it worked for me, but are you happy? Are you happy? Or are you always looking for that thing that will make you happy? The new car, the new house, the new boat, things, the new CD, the latest phone, the latest computer, the latest gigaw, whatever you want to call
newest
it.
Newest designer shoes.
Yes. All these things that are consumerism. I saw a very interesting program. I wish I remembered the man's name. He's a photographer. And I believe it was on PBS where I saw this, where he took pictures of all the plastic bags used in 1 hour in the United States. And it was amazing because there were thousands of plastic bags. Very colorful photo. But it's a very real representation of the consumerism and the wastefulness of modern society. When I remember the days when you have to save your paper bags if you wanted to go shopping because they weren't necessarily going to give you bags. And nowadays they just make these things out of chemicals. That is what plastic is. It's solidified chemicals. It's not natural. They don't break down in the environment. They kill living creatures. And they take up space of other things that could well be organic and will break down and put nutrients in the soil so more living things can grow, so more living things can exist. The consumerism is rampant. I mean, that's supposedly what we're all about as a country, is capitalism. Well, it's great if you're a major capitalist as far as the people on the street. They're not capitalists. They're survivors. They're folks trying to survive. And it's part of the system, but the system's going to change. It's already started. Folks that are of a negative bent are being exposed as the fools that they are. And new folks listening are showing great intellect by listening today. I'm sorry, I'm just playing. But you understand. And give us a call. Come on, let's talk. We're trying so hard here.
Tell us your adventure from this weekend.
Yeah. Anything that you noticed that's different from your normal perspective. Because perspectives are changing. Things are being put in the proper proportion. Things aren't being allowed to be blown out of proportion. Yes, there's many bad tidings concerning world events. But look at the natural changes that are going on. These natural changes are going to increase. Folks, there are going to be people who pass on from this existence. There can be nothing done to stop that. It's part of nature. It's part of the natural way of things, bringing in balance. But one way to try to ensure survival is to be aware, totally aware of your surroundings, what's going on, living every moment. Because when you don't live every moment as it happens, you've missed that moment. So the call-in is toll-free in the USA. It's 1-877-876-5227. In Canada only, toll-free, 1-888-815-9756. And then the direct line is 1-530-876-3222. We look forward to talking to you. Please call in. You don't have to give any personal information other than maybe your first name, and you can change that. Doesn't really matter, so nobody will know who you are. But give us a call. Let's hear somebody other than Mariah and I speak.
This show is about you guys.
It really is. It really is. It's about all of us. It's about all of us and what we're going to be doing in the future, what we're doing right this moment. As I said, we learn every day. And one of the things that I've come to realize, I was thinking that I was a messenger. I was told, you have a message to deliver, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, I'm just anybody. I really am. I am no different from you. I am no different from other than possibly the fact that I understand that living with an open heart is the correct way. And it's easy, it's simple, but it's not easy, just because of the ingrained teachings we've had throughout our lives about control and hiding and all the games that we've learned, you know, hide and seek, tag, you're it, and everyone runs away from the one that's it, taking sides, having teams. I mean, it instills some things, but many of those things that it instills are not productive to your growth. I mean, yes, competition is good. It brings out the best in people, but when you have winners, you have losers. I think we're all winners if we play and play fairly and with an open heart, and then let the best folks win the game. But it doesn't mean they win life. It just means that that particular time, in that fun situation, they happen to be victorious, and it could change the next time the game is played where they're not victorious. But it shouldn't be that win at any cost. If you're not a winner, you're a loser. All these different things that are just drilled and drilled and drilled into us over the years.
And they try to tell you that the point of the team or the competition is to learn team spirit, to be able to work together, to learn how to count on other people to get to the same conclusion.
And it does. I mean, team sports do that. But that dastardly ego will get in, and all of a sudden you have a star or two or three on the team, and then even though, say, on a football team, running back's great, getting great yards, but, you know, the whole line made it possible for that running back to have the ability to make that special cut where maybe one person didn't get blocked. But there's 10 other people that did get blocked.
And even if you get tackled, it doesn't mean you're a loser. It reminds me of a movie I just watched earlier, Little Miss Sunshine, which has Greg Kinnear in it, and it's about a little girl that actually come from Albuquerque.
Oh, cool.
Out to...
good place to come from.
Yes, out to California for a little girl's beauty pageant. And pretty much the message of the movie is what the grandpa tells the little girl. It says, the only people who are losers are the ones who want to do things and never get up to do them. The people who get up and try and fail are winners because they got up and tried.
And that's right. And everyone listening now is truly a winner. All you have to do is try. And don't say to yourself, well, I'm just this, or that. You have to get out there and say, this is what I love. This is what I do. This is who I am. And just do it, whether it's just a walk, whether it's just, I don't know, there's so many things it could be, but if you've always wanted to be a painter, paint. Don't think you're not good enough. You're good enough for you. That's all you need to know. If you see picture, oh, I wish I had my camera now. Oh, I wish, you know, so many times. Well, I've been carrying a camera, so I haven't missed those moments.
And some of the greatest artists in history don't paint things that look like pictures you take with a camera. They are, what's the word, not obstructed, but they're changed in the way that makes...
They're impressionists.
Yes,
they're impressions.
Right.
And that's really what your perceptions are. Your perceptions are your impressions. They are what your heart and mind put together to give you your truth at that moment. Your perceptions and those things that you are impress you may change in the next moment.
And the things you've learned in your life change the way you see things. Like 100 people can look at the same ink blot and see 100 different things. It's not because it looks different, or it's different to every person. It's because they see differently because of what they've seen in their lives.
Well, Yeah.
They see different patterns. I guess the most thing I realize is patterns. If I see something that makes a pattern, it catches my attention. Well, if someone else sees a different pattern and then points it out to me, then I see both patterns. And then if someone else sees something different, points it out to me, then I see all patterns. And then that's how you have to talk to other people to get the perceptions of everything around you.
Yeah, I think, well, that's part of really what they call having an open mind, and it's not really an open mind, it's an open heart. If you close your heart, close your mind, and I know what I believe, and that's all I'm going to ever believe, and nothing will ever change that. You have every right to do that, but it limits you, and you need to realize how much it limits you. It's an open mind, an open heart is the basis for creation, because you see things and say, not I can't do that, but you say, why can't I? And if you say, why can't I, you're already opening the door to changing what you can't do into what you can do. And you can do anything. Yes, you are capable of doing anything. I got off the subject, but what my revelation was is I'm not a messenger. I'm not a teacher. I'm a reminder. I'm a reminder to tell you who you are and what you're here for. I'm not anything special other than that. You already know these things. You know it in your heart. But fear will hold you back from expressing it and feeling it. There's a comedian in the 90s who passed away. His name is Bill Hicks. And he said, it's a choice. It's a choice between fear and love. The eyes of fear will have you put larger locks on your doors, will cut you off, have you cut yourself off from other human beings, buy guns, and live and hide in your homes because of fear. And you fear everything. Well, with the eyes of love, you see that anything is possible, that there really is nothing to fear, and it lets you take that first step out your door. That's the most important step in any journey, in any adventure, is the very first step, because it sets the tone for the whole journey or the whole experience. So just try this sometime, just as a little experiment. If you're just going for a walk, before you go out, say a prayer, do a meditation, put yourself in a peaceful mindset, think of your happiest event in your life. That's yours, by the way. It's nothing that I can give you. You know when your happiest moment was, when you felt the joy of living, and take that, hold that. It's yours. You own it. Accept it. And embrace it. That. And then take your footstep in that frame of mind. And you know what? That whole journey, no matter what happens, will be to the mindset of that most joyous time in your life. Try it. You'll see that it's true. Because your perceptions and how you walk into a situation will frame how that situation turns out. It's how you are a creator in the things that you do and that happen to you. And with creation behind you and with a positive mindset, your possibilities are unlimited. There are no limits. The box that folks talk about of thinking outside the box does not exist. It never did exist. It was based on ego of other people who said, I know more than you do, so I'm right, I've proved it. They proved at that point in time that they could prove your thought. But that's all. It doesn't mean that it's set in stone. Just as we learn every day, those things change every day. Does it change gravity? No. I mean, it's once again discernment. There are some physical laws you cannot get away from unless you're totally open. And then anything is possible. Levitation. Ooh, that's weird. Only magicians do that. No, some folks who are truly, truly cleared themselves of all aspects of physical presence will actually float while in meditation. And it doesn't mean they're negating gravity. Gravity's still there. Just that they're choosing not to allow it to affect them. You have that ability yourselves. Every single one of you. Everyone has that ability. But if everyone knew that and accepted it, what would be the use of government? Because we wouldn't need anyone to protect us. We wouldn't need anybody to supply things for us. So, they'll teach you that, no, you can only do what you can do. You're limited. You need help. You need protection. So, here we are. Has it worked for you? Really think about it. Has what everyone has taught you made you a happy perfection that creation intended you to be? Think about that. What do you think, Mariah?
Well, I think in that way, like a lot of people think, to be successful, you have to graduate high school and go right into college, meet a person, either girl or guy, get out of college, find a good job, get married, have kids. That's a successful life. Well, does that mean everybody who doesn't live that life isn't successful? That was the problem I went through many times. I felt just because I didn't want to go into college right away that I was a loser. All my friends were going into college, and they were all learning all these great stuff, and they were going to have great careers when they got out, and I was going to be stuck working at McDonald's. Well, I had to realize that it's not what they want me to do that makes me successful. It's what I want to do that makes me successful. As long as I am successful in what I want to be and do, I'm happy.
Let me see if I could clarify that
okay.
in different language, in that your measure of success should be to yourself, not to what others perceive success to be. Does that sum it up pretty good? Yeah, and that's truth. That's truth. If you never make more than $5,000 a year, does that mean you're not successful? No. You survived. You're still surviving. All we need. All right? So, you know, the measures of success, it really doesn't matter. You might say, well, lots of money gives me lots of freedom. No, it actually gives you, you're controlled more because then you're worried about losing this money. You know what I'm saying? You know, and then you're worried about how much government's going to take from you, and you're worried about what other people try to steal from you, and you're worried about this, and you're worried about that. Why worry? That's the basic. Why worry? You are surviving. One of the most succinct warrior codes is adapt and survive. Simple as that. Adapt and survive. Will you have all your desires met? No. Will you live? Oh, yeah. Will you prosper? Depends on what you define prosperity to be. in your own heart, not what others define for you. If you choose to go live in a cave by yourself and just meditate, you are a success, because that is being you. If it's to be a runway model and show your inner beauty and your outer beauty and be successful at it, then you are a success to you. It doesn't matter what the accolades are. It doesn't matter how famous you are. It doesn't matter if you're not famous at all. It doesn't matter if you're home alone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're loved. Believe it or not, you're loved. Start loving yourselves, too, if you haven't already. Okay? Because you're who you got. Okay? All the rest of us are here for support for you. But you got to love yourself. You got to forgive yourself and get on with the joy of living. What do you think, Mariah?
I think that's completely right on.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I have those moments. But in any event, I don't...
Got about 10 minutes left of the show. I'd really love to hear from somebody out there. Just tell us what you think. Are we doing a good job?
Really?
Do you like what we talk about? Do you think we make any sense? Somebody give us some feedback, please.
Why don't you give out the numbers again, Mariah?
All right, numbers for USA only. Toll-free, 1-877-876-5227. In Canada only, toll-free, 1-888-815-9756. And the direct line was 1-530-876-3222.
Okay, and just for informational purposes, although I've gone out and taken some really my vision of in photographs of my little adventures, I will be posting them, and they'll be available in limited editions to folks who would wish to purchase it, and once I figure out how to do copyright and all that great stuff. It's not that I want to limit who can have them. It's just that, well, this is anybody. I need to get through this life, and I don't want a whole lot of money. I'm not going to charge any exorbitant prices. There'll probably be real deals for really beautiful pictures, but it is, that is coming. Hopefully those pictures will help to touch your heart and maybe say, show you the beauty that is just outside your door. There's so many things, from the smallest flower to a honeybee getting the pollen and nectar from that flower, to so many things that we just don't pay attention to anymore. People so often don't even walk anywhere anymore. So unless they have smell-o-vision in their car, they can't smell the flowers. They can't smell the wet dust, which is what the smell of rain is.
Isn't that a famous quote, to stop and smell the roses?
Well, yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
Yes, it's always been there, folks.
It's known.
It's nothing. Like I said, we're not like people with these new messages that nobody has sent. It's stuff that, it's a reminder. That's all. It's a reminder of what it is to be a human being, to enjoy life in all its aspects, because if you're not enjoying it, why exist?
Why do the same things you keep doing if it's not making you happy? Do something else.
Yeah, because we're afraid of change. Once again, we get back to the fear. Gosh, let the fear go, folks. Let it go.
It, you know, really something I've heard a lot lately is when something and the because I'm pretty much right at the crease, I guess, or right between the step between adults and teenagers.
Oh no, you're adult.
Well, yeah. Well, but I hang out with teenagers also, so I understand what's going on. And the thing I hear the most from the older adults is, that reminds me of high school. It's so childish. Well, in high school, that's where you learned how to act like you act as a grown up.
And one thing I
and it means if something's going on around you that reminds you of high school, it means nothing's changed. You have to change. You have to get over that next step.
And throughout my experiences, throughout my life, I've noticed that in my dealings with groups of people, almost every time it reminded me of high school, the cliques, the we days, the I'm better than you are because these are my friends and we're better than everybody and my needs are more important than everybody else's needs, so accede to my needs, don't worry about everyone. All these things that are truly juvenile, really is what they are. They're juvenile thought patterns that haven't gone away. Yes, we learn a lot in high school, but one of the things we should learn is, and we're talking in the United States, from what, 13 to 18, somewhere in that range that you would be in high school.
Yeah.
When all your hormones are raging, your body's changing, your voice is changing, you're coming into the body that will carry you through the rest of your existence.
And the biggest thing in high school is the fear of not being accepted, that you're not good enough. They're not going to like you if you act like this. That's what people still do. They live in the fear. If you don't live the way they, I use little quotations in my hands, they tell you to, then you won't be accepted. You'll be outcast. You'll be crazy.
And who cares?
Exactly. That's the step you have to get over. A lot of people do. They lose that insecurity of being fat or ugly in high school, and they blossom when they get into their early 20s and they go out in college and have a great time because they know it's not about what jeans you're wearing. As long as you feel good, people think you look good. And a lot of people do learn that, but they don't take all of the lesson, which is you don't need to be accepted by other people to be you, to be happy, to have a great time.
Well, I wanted to add a little technical thing here. Well, we still have time. On the site for the show, it has a website which is incorrect, and if you've gone there, it shows that it doesn't have anything. Just want to let you know. I'm going to try to get it corrected, but I'm going to give it to you verbally right now. My website is www.myspace.com/prophet, PROPHET 54, not 52, 54. Come on by, check it out, and hopefully I'll have it so it'll be better, easier referenced. But if you could write that down, just change the 52 at the end to a 54 instead of 52. And there is truly a site there. And we're going to try to get a website up for It Is Time.
Also, my biography will be put up and my web space link by hopefully this week.
Right. So the younger people, you can direct them to Mariah, see what Mariah is all about. You old fogies like me, stop on by and see what somebody that is 52 going on 53. You can see what I look like and hear some of the things that I have to say in my blog and see some of the pictures that I've taken already that you're free to copy off the MySpace site. I don't have a problem with that. That's why I put them there. Look forward to you coming by. And if you email me, I will respond. I read my emails every day, and I respond every day, as long as my computer's working. If the darn technology, if it goes away, I can't help it. You know, I'll do what I can to get it up as soon as quickly as
same
possible.
Same problems most people in the world have.
Yes.
Just like you, don't have computers sometimes, don't have lights sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's the way things are. I mean, there's glitches, but I'm not worried about it. I mean, we'll communicate, and hopefully we can be friends too. Because I'm a friend waiting for another friend to show up. That's all. And I won't say unconditional love because it's an oxymoron. I am love. It is unconditional. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care what level you think you're at. I would bow to the light of creation within you. Because
you're my brother and my sister.
That's right. You're my brother and my sisters. And you're my mothers and fathers. You're my grandmothers and grandfathers. As I am all those things also to you. We are connected. We are one. But we are each individuals within that one. And just know that you're loved. No matter what, know that. If it's just me and Mariah, these two folks over in Albuquerque, know that we love you. Don't know you, but we do know you. Because, as I said, we're all Mariah and I are reminders of who you are in your heart, that you know you are. And we're not worried about what you think. We're only worried about what you feel and what you know, not what you believe or what you think. And I don't know if our time is up or if we have a call. I guess our time is up, and just want to say goodbye and thank you, creation, for these moments. Thank you, creation, for this day. Thank you, creation, for these friends. Namaste, my friends.